Words cannot describe the sorrow and anger I feel at this moment.
The suspect in the shooting death of that 17-year veteran is in custody after being shot by police. Meanwhile, an Arizona Department of Public Safety trooper in training is dead, and a second officer injured in an overnight shooting just outside Phoenix. It happened when they confronted a driver along an interstate, and the suspect grabbed one of their guns. No word on whether that suspect's in custody. The Labor Department says 217,000 Americans filed first-time claims for jobless bennies last week, 9,000 more than the previous week's revised total. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Religious liberty is, quote, a God-given universal right. Those are the words of Secretary of State Mike Pompeo at a continuing State Department summit on international religious freedom today. Vice President Mike Pence also on hand. He says religious freedom is a top priority of the Trump administration. And Pence calling religious liberty the most fundamental freedom of all freedoms. Pence saying nations that deny religious freedom breed radicalism and resentment among their citizens. And he noted that more than 80% of the people in the world live in regions where religious freedom is either threatened or is already denied. The U.S. Embassy in Beijing says a small explosion took place there today and was the work of just one person. A spokesperson for the embassy saying the suspect who detonated the small bomb only injured himself. Beijing police say the bomber injured his hand. It's not considered to be life-threatening. No word on what his motive was. He's said to be a 26-year-old man from Inner Mongolia. And the people around pop star Demi Lovato say they tried to stage an intervention for her a few weeks ago. Lovato recovering from an apparent drug overdose that she suffered on Tuesday, from which she is expected to recover. This is a good time to remind you to find us online anytime or at usaradio.com. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat, did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Good morning. At 11:04, it is 79 degrees in Flemington. Forecast for today is mostly cloudy, then some scattered showers tonight, high of 87. On Friday, there's a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms later in the day, high of 88. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 86 and a little less humid. And then Sunday, mostly sunny with a high around 85.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
at the Bama Breeze. You can shoot some pool down there. You can act a fool down there. You can play it cool down there. At the Bama Breeze.
Good morning and welcome to the Library Show. I'm Jennifer Winberry. Jim Thatch is on vacation this week. Tune in every Thursday to hear all about the Hunterdon County Library. On this week's show, I'll recap Tuesday night's book launch and update you on the summer concerts at the library and at the Parks Department. At 11:15, I will be joined by phone by best-selling author Lucy Burdett, a.k.a. Roberta Islieb. Lucy's latest book, her eighth in the West Key West Food Critic Series, is going to be released on August 7th by Crooked Lane Books. August program highlights, library card promotion, and much, much more on today's library show, including birthday shout-outs to Nick T and Scott Kohler. Happy birthday, guys. So good morning. I'm without adult supervision today, so who knows down which paths I may wander. Jim will be back next week, and he'll set me on the straight and narrow. We're listening to Jimmy Buffett's Bahama Breeze this morning to welcome Lucy Burdett and her Key West Food Critic Series. So before our first commercial break and introduction of Lucy, I'd like to congratulate local author Patty Kerr once again on another successful book launch of her third book, Magical Dogs 2, Love and Lessons from Her Canine Companions. Patty has launched all three of her books, which includes Magical Dog 1 and I Love You, Who Are You? The story of a journey of an Alzheimer's caregiver, the story that she went through with her mother. And Patty is just one, is an exceptionally caring and giving woman, which shines through in all of her projects. And I'm so thrilled that the library has been able to play an important part in her journey. And Patty also donates a portion of the sale of her books to dog rescues. Our second outdoor concert tonight, the Summer Swing Orchestra, was rescheduled. Our second outdoor concert, which was the Summer Swing Orchestra, which was scheduled for last night at the North County Branch Library, has been postponed until August 22nd at 6:30. Next week, we go back to headquarters for the Blauenberg Band at 6:30 p.m., and that will be canceled if there's inclement weather because we can't get the 50-plus member band inside the library. On August 8th, we'll go back to the North County Branch Library for Varrett and Valley Recovery. A wide-ranging program will include bluegrass classics, old-time fiddle tunes, country, folk, and pop.
My hopes and dreams.
Right.
Sorry about that. Can't do two things at once. August 15th, we're back at headquarters for the finale, Rave On, which will be at 6:30. They feature the music of Buddy Holly and Roy Orbison. We've had them in the headquarters library inside a lot. And people always like to get up and dance, so now there'll be plenty of room, and we don't have to cap the attendance. Tonight, at the Hunterdon County Parks Department at Deer Path Park on Westwood Church Road, the Best of the Eagles is scheduled. That starts at 7 o'clock. This group is of all stars, captures the instrumental and vocal prowess of the biggest California supergroup of all time. It was established in 2012 with veteran musicians from Central Jersey. The Best of the Eagles play the music of the Eagles in a very true-to-form tribute show, with six powerful vocals, outstanding harmonies, and great musical accompaniments. But due to rainy conditions this week, a decision to hold the concert outside at Deer Path Park or at our rain location, Hunterdon Central Regional High School, will be made early on Thursday. The information will be posted on the Hunterdon County Parks Facebook page as well as on their website. So just check that out before you make the trip to Deer Path Park. Next Thursday night, the Captain Jack Billy Joel tribute will be at Deer Path Park. And then the week after, Frontiers. They're hailed by fans and critics alike as the best Journey tribute band in the world. So don't miss any of the outdoor concerts. I'm going to go to the first commercial break a little early so that I can give Lucy a call. And when I come back, I will have Lucy Burdett, the author of Death on a Menu.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to the Library Show. I am on the phone with Lucy Burdett. Are you there, Lucy?
I'm here.
Oh, good.
Nice
I didn't
to
leave.
Be with you, Jennifer.
I'm so glad to have you back. Lucy, under her alias, Roberta Islieb, was the first author guest I invited to the Hunterdon County Library a few years back, and she's been on our show a couple times, so I'm thrilled to have her back.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Lucy's newest book, Death on the Murder, Death on the Menu, will be published by Crooked Lane Books on August 7th. Do you want to talk a little bit about it, or do you want me to read the...
Sure. This is the eighth book in the Key West Food Critic Mystery Series. There's been a little bit of a break since the last one came out, Killer Takeout. So I was so happy to have to be published by Crooked Lane for this one and the next one. And this one takes place at the Harry Truman Little White House, which is one of my favorite places to visit on the Key West Island. And her mother, who is now living on the island, is catering an enormous, meaningful event between Havana and the city of Key West. So the stakes are high as far as what could go wrong, and being a murder mystery, lots does.
Okay, this time you've written about the zombie parade in Key West.
Yes.
Which was a lot of fun. And this time it had a little more serious tone to it, I thought. The renewed relations with Cuba, and yet the mayor of Havana come to this event. Was this in the back of your mind? I know you alluded to the fact that there was a hiatus in between the two books. It's not a huge secret that the publisher Berkeley bought, when they bought Random House, they did away with their huge line of cozy books almost completely. So was this something you were thinking about, or did it come to you as events happened?
No, I think it it was bubbling. My husband and I live in Key West more than 6 months of the year, so we get to see what ebbs and flows in that community. And one of the things that has been there since we arrived in 2007 is Cuban refugees arriving on the island. And up until 2014, the U.S. had a policy that any Cuban person who actually landed one foot on U.S. mainland could stay. So that was a reason for people to take big risks and try to cross the Straits of Florida in really terrible little rickety crafts. And so every once in a while we would read in the paper or hear on the news that another group of refugees had landed. And some, of course, didn't make it. So this is a backdrop. I think also that Key West, being only 90 miles from Cuba, we're very interested in Cuba. There are a lot of similarities between the two islands. So all those things were bubbling when I got the chance to come up with with another idea for a book. That's what came up.
Have you visited Cuba since travel's become more free?
We went in 2014. We went at the time you had to go on a tour, an educational tour. So we went for 8 days, and it was really fascinating to see how people lived. And then right after we came back, President Obama opened up relations so that you no longer had to go on a tour. So we'd like to say we had something to do with that, although, of course, we didn't. And now it's changed again. It's gone back with the new president to people not being able to travel legally on their own. So that's the long story to say, yes, we did go visit.
Are there a lot of, in Key West, are the Cuban communities, very integrated, or do they have their own little enclaves, or do they live among...
I would say that they're integrated, maybe more so than in the Miami area, because you can find a little Havana in Miami, whereas you don't see that in Key West. What you see is more of a general influence, so a lot of Cuban food, which is one of the themes in this new book, Death on the Menu. And one of my friends, who I met through her food tour, and you'll see her again in the next book. She comes from a Cuban family, so she helped me a lot with details, and it's, in fact, her aunt's recipe for flan that's in the back of the book.
Which makes enough flan
for an army.
Huge crowd.
That's the only one that I didn't taste test, because I couldn't imagine what I would do with that much flan.
And that's a big, kept secret in the book. Janet Snow, Haley's mother, is catering this event, and Maria and Irina will not share their aunt's recipe.
That's right. So I had to beg.
When you were in, so have you gotten to see Hemingway's Nobel Prize gold medal?
Which no, is that that is fiction.
Oh, okay.
So in the book. One of the things I was trying to think about was if there was a real conference between the two cities or the two countries, would they not start with what they had in common? And one of the things that Cuba has in common with Key West is that Hemingway lived and worked there. I think he spent, so when we were on our trip to Cuba, we got to take a tour of his home, which is right outside Havana. It's called Vinca, and his beloved Bo Pilar is there, and you see little gravestones with his pets' names on them. He was a big animal man. And so we didn't get to go in the house because it's they're worried about it being preserved. So, and in fact, that is not where the medal is anyway. It really is in this convent in a different part of Cuba. So I just had to make all that up about it being brought over as part of the display for this fictional weekend.
Okay, so there's not an exhibit if you went to his house in Havana.
No.
You wouldn't.
But there is his home on Key West is also, aside from the little White House, I would say those are maybe the top two places that visitors like to go to. And it's really, it's a wonderful tour. Both places have a wonderful tour, but Hemingway's home, a lot of the house is furnished just the way that it would have been when he was living there with, I think it was his second wife. So, and also there are 50-plus polydactyl cats that are supposedly descendants of his first cat. So both places are wonderful places to see.
The details in your book are very, you mentioned the boat Pilar, and your table settings had a flower arrangement.
Yes.
With the boat.
And I'll tell you where that came from. The little church that we attend in Key West, there are two men who have a flower shop who bring the most stunning flower arrangements you've ever seen every week to be at on the altar of the church. I mean, birds of paradise, they're just stunning. I put a lot of pictures of them up on Facebook. So I said to him, I explained to him, this is what the party would be. What might you produce for the centerpieces? And he's the one who came up with the idea of having Hemingway's boat, the Pilar, as the container for the flowers.
There's a lot of culture, local culture, local figures in Haley's, like she visits Lorenzo, the tarot card reader. She visits a lot of shops. Is most of that based on real?
Most of it is based on real people and places. My one rule of thumb has been up to now, which this book that I'm doing the edits on, maybe this has changed, but if I poison somebody, I try to make that a fictional restaurant. But other than that, Lorenzo, the tarot card reader, who's a good friend of hers, is based on a real person who is at Mallory Square where the sunset celebration is held every night. And first time John and I walked through that and saw back in those days, he was wearing a turban and a lot of makeup, and he has this cool little table with a tablecloth that says tarot, and he has a big old lamp that he sits on it. When I saw him, I said, oh, he's got to be a character. And then when I was giving a talk after the first book, and Appetite for Murder was out, someone came up afterwards and said, I know this guy. Do you want to meet him? And I said, oh, yes, I definitely want to meet him. So we all had lunch, and then now I always have lunch with him a couple times when we're there. And it's amazing. He's such an interesting, thoughtful man who is tuned into things that a lot of us are too busy to notice. And we have lunch, and I just take notes like crazy. And then a lot of that goes into the book. And the same with Steve Torrance, who is a real person who works at the police department. He helps me with things that I get wrong on police procedure.
How about Miss Gloria, who is Haley's houseboat mate?
Haley's Gloria is one of the few who's not, well, Haley herself is not a real person either. But if you've read that first book, she was kind of a throwaway character who was injured during the denouement of the mystery. And gradually over time, she's become more and more important. She's 80-something, and Haley now lives with her. And readers, I think, she might be everybody's favorite character because she's not what you would think of as an 80-year-old person. She's spunky and she's thoughtful, and she and Haley are sort of like a mother and grandmother at this point.
Yes, she even went out and bought sequin sneakers.
Oh, yes, sequins are her thing.
Yes, and she's helping out with Haley's mother in the catering event, even.
Yes, she never wants to be left out.
And I'm trying to picture her. Haley rides around Key West on a scooter.
Right.
So I'm trying to picture Miss Gloria on the back of Haley's...
Hanging on for dear life, yeah. I gave her a great big old, I think it was a Buick.
Yes.
That is parked in the parking lot alongside the boats, which was modeled after my in-law's car. And so Haley will take her around as much as possible because the idea of this little old lady driving, Key West can be pretty hairy in the high season traffic-wise, so she's happy to take her around. She's good company.
And there's a twist at the end of the book, which I don't want to say anything about.
No.
But I think it'll be interesting to see how Haley and Miss Gloria's relationships continue.
Yes. I'm looking forward to that, too.
Yes. And Haley's mother's new to Key West. And she's recently married.
Yes.
But she and Haley have kind of reached a good point in their relationship, I think.
They have. My mother died when I was a teenager, so I didn't really get to have the experience of moving through that phase where you're no longer a child, but you're becoming another adult who can have an adult relationship with your parents. So it's really fun to write that. And in fact, I would say in the first time you see Haley's mother, which is in the second book, Death in Four Courses, she's the needier one of the two. She's been divorced for a while. She's not found herself. And watching Haley and how successful she's starting to be, I think really spurs her on. And so, now they're really enjoying each other.
Because I think in the last book of the book before, when she started the catering business, it almost felt like, oh, she's trying to almost one-up Haley or it. I don't know. It felt awkward. But now it seems that Janet is really invested in this and she really wants to make a go of it. And she's being more responsible about it. You mentioned that she had a catering business in her old life.
Right. And in her old life, she was so focused on having the best of everything that she wasn't paying attention to her profit margins, and she washed out.
Right.
But her new husband is helping with that, too. He keeps an eye on things.
And so I think she's fitting in very well in Haley's life. Yeah, I like her. And she's not taking away from Miss Gloria either.
No, which could have happened.
Right. I mean, Miss Gloria, I think, is kind of a relief or a respite for Haley.
Yes.
If Janet gets too much. You wrote about you included real people in your book this time.
Yes. Well, often it's getting kind of...
Or obviously real people.
Yeah, because... people like to be in the books, and I've gotten so many in the books now that it's hard to remember who needs to come in and also be careful about not having them do things fictionally that the real people would object to. So it's all a balancing act.
Oh, actually, I meant the two famous. You have Obama and Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, yes.
How was it writing, and do they know they're in the book?
No, they don't.
Well, maybe they do now. Maybe they're listening.
Maybe. No, I have some friends who are also in the book, Dana and Joe Sebeck. Dana's kind of a bigger character, one of the suspects.
Right.
And they are parrot heads, which are the super fans of Jimmy Buffett. So I had coffee with them several years ago. Now we've gotten to be friends, and they said, you've got to put parrot heads in the book because they love seeing themselves on the pages. So, okay, I'm always needing more material. So,
I was just went out of my head and I can't find my note. You do other writing. You blog on Jungle Red Writers.
Yes.
With some really fabulous authors, besides yourself. And that's a pretty active blog, and there's a conversation that goes on a lot with that.
Yes. It's what's kind of amazing is that the writers who, they're all crime fiction writers. There's Deborah Crombie and Hallie Efron, and I'm going to leave people out if I try to remember all of them. But we blog every day, and the way it works is you have a week that you're in charge of. So my week starts next week with, is it July 30th? Is that what Monday is?
Yes.
Yes. So Monday. Mondays we always have what we call a group chat, and so whoever turn it is gets to think up the topic. And then everybody else ahead of time chimes in with their thoughts on it, and then we post it. And we have a very active group of readers who like to give their opinions, and then we all chime back in. So it's turned into a community. And then the other days of the week are either guests or, for instance, next week, which is a week before this new book comes out, I will have a post about the Cubans coming over on those little boats, which are called chugs, and show some pictures of some of the ones I've seen. And then we're going to have a faux Hemingway contest where you post a paragraph imitating Hemingway, because that's in the book, too. So it's very creative. It takes a lot of time, but I think it helps the bottom line, which is get more people excited about our books and getting to know us.
No, I think it's a lot of fun, and I think the interaction with the readers and even with the other authors, it makes everyone seem more human.
Yes, and which we definitely are.
Yes, not these great superstars, which you also all are. And on Thursdays, you blog on the Mystery Lover's Kitchen.
Thursdays is my other group of wonderful writers who all write culinary mysteries. It's called Mystery Lover's Kitchen, and every day there's a new recipe. So I am on every other Thursday. So, of course, the next 6 weeks will be a lot of the Cuban recipes that are also in the book.
You just said about culinary mysteries. For quite a few years, mysteries were very themed. Cozy mysteries where there's not a lot of blood, not a lot of swearing, very little sex on the pages.
Right.
But there would be a craft one. There would be a quilting one, a glass blowing. Do you think with this change from one publisher doing so many that they'll go back to more traditional cozies without specific themes?
I always hate to try to read the cards for the publishing industry.
Maybe Lorenzo could tell us.
Kensington and Crooked Lane publishers have picked up a lot of the writers that were dropped when Penguin merged with Random House. So there are plenty of foodie mysteries still coming out, and other kinds of mysteries too. And I think that they reach a little dedicated and rabid group of readers, but maybe it's harder to break out into the bigger mystery reader realm. I'm not sure, but I saw on Facebook such an interesting discussion this week, because one of my buddies from Mystery Lovers Kitchen, who is Sheila Conley, asked people if they're cozy readers, did they mind a little edge in the books? Did they mind a little bit of real life, a little harder story? And there was really a very big split between some cozy readers who read to get away from reality and do not want sex, they do not want real issues or politics in contaminating their cozies, whereas other people want more reality. So I don't know which way it's going to go. I think I kind of straddle the line.
I was just going to say, I think you struck a good balance, especially with Death on the Menu, with the Cuban and the refugees, the Cuban backstory, which is so prominent, but without, you know, completely in your face. You know, you made it a celebration.
I hope that's how it will be read. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thank heavens every day for Kensington and Crooked Lane for picking up the books, because I was addicted. I am addicted to cozies.
Oh, good.
You know, I would be reading 6 to 12 a month. That's all I would read, and there was a Facebook page, Save Our Cozies.
Yes.
So the fans are they're rabid, I think.
They are rabid, yes.
And they're very, very loyal. You were very active in Sisters in Crime, correct, still?
Yes, I still belong. And Sisters in Crime was developed in the late 1980s, I think it started, when Sarah Paretsky and Nancy Picard and some other forward-thinking women began to realize that male writers were getting a lot more reviews than women writers were. And, of course, getting reviews is part of what sells books. So they started this organization. I think they had 12 or 14 women, and now it's thousands, including men also. We don't discriminate. And the idea is to support other women crime fiction writers, and I think they do a good job of that. So I was the president for a year and a vice president the year before that, and I think it's a wonderful organization.
And you have a guppy group.
Yes, they have an extremely active, it's called the Guppies, which I think stands for the Great Unpublished. And so they are, maybe they have 800 people on their list, their listserv, and they help each other find agents and talk about writing and promoting, marketing. It's and a lot of people who were unpublished in that group have now gone on to be published and still remain in the group in order to support and give a hand back to the people who are coming up.
And it is, if there's any aspiring writers listening, do you recommend they join a group like that?
Absolutely. It's you could find it on the website sistersincrime.org. When I started writing mysteries back in the 1990s, I didn't know a thing about really writing, never mind anything about selling or marketing. So I did not begin to really meet other writers until after the first book, which was the first in the golf mystery series in 2002, had come out. And so I think it would be so helpful to have a group of people who are both at the same level as you, but also have moved ahead of you. It's like playing tennis. It's good to play up and to get somebody else giving you tips. So I am definitely a group person. You can tell by those blogs. I have a writing group also. So some people like to do things on their own, but then you're reinventing the wheel.
Right. You just mentioned your golf series. That was your first series, and it was Cassie Burdette, a young woman on the LPGA tour.
Right.
And then her psychologist, Rebecca Butterman, had a series.
Yes, she had. There were five in the golf mystery series, and then the publisher realized that golfers didn't love to read and readers didn't love golf. So that was the end of that one. And then I tried a three-book series. My background is as a clinical psychologist, so this was a clinical psychologist who also wrote an advice column. And I really enjoyed writing those. That was set in Connecticut. But we were talking about straddling the line between serious and lighthearted, and I think that series was walking the line so carefully that maybe it didn't grab either. That's my theory.
And that was one of my favorite series.
I know, and I always appreciated that.
I loved that. The other thing that you did, and I think it was at Connie's wedding, Haley's best friend, her cousin is Joe, who was...
Yes.
And I love when the characters from other series show up.
Yes. You know, she... Cassie the golfer is related somehow, I can't even remember how I did this, to Janet, the current character's mother. And so I brought her down for a holiday with her husband, the golf psychologist. I found it was not so easy to go back and write that older character when I was so much in the head of Haley these days. But it was fun to do it. So you can kind of update people who were fans of the other series and regret not knowing what's happened to the characters.
Yeah, I really enjoy that.
That's what happens is you get attached to these characters. It happens to me all the time. And then if the series goes away, there you are left wondering.
Now you've got another Haley Snow book coming out.
Yes. It's called A Deadly Feast, and it's going to be out in April. So I'm working on the editor's comments right now.
And then after that, do you have anything?
After that, I don't know.
Just fingers crossed.
I'm working on something else, or I will go back to it after I turn this in. That is not exactly a mystery. It's more women's fiction. And then I think it will depend on how the book sales do with the Crooked Lane, these two books and the Crooked Lane books. And then they'll decide whether they want to continue it or not.
Now, this is the first time you've been published in hardback.
Yeah.
Which I think is very exciting.
Scary, yeah.
But scary at the same time because, you know, it makes it very easy for libraries and librarians to make the decision, oh, yes, of course, we can have it. It'll be very durable on the shelf.
Yes.
And
it's also the first time I've had an audio book.
Oh, that's exciting.
Oh, boy, was that a thrill when they said, my editor at Crooked Lane emailed me and said, oh, by the way, we've sold audio rights. Here are three people to choose from. And then they had read parts of the first chapter, each of them, of this book, Death on the Menu, and then you got to listen to them and say, oh, well, this one, there was the one that I chose that just sounded exactly like Haley.
Oh, how wonderful they let you choose the narrator.
Yes, it gave me cold chills, too.
Oh, wow.
Well, yeah.
Congratulations. That's...
Thank you. Yeah, that's fun.
Yes. Well, is there anything else you'd like us to know?
I think we've covered it.
I think so. I'm sorry. I asked too many questions. Because it's so exciting to me.
I'm so delighted that we've reconnected.
Yes. Yeah. So definitely on Tuesday, August 7th, go to your bookstore, your small independent bookstore, and pick up a copy of Death on the Menu. And we look forward to a deadly feast in April.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
Thank you, Lucy. It was great talking to you again.
And you.
All right. Have a good summer.
Thanks.
Thanks. Bye-bye. So I want to thank Lucy Burdett for taking some time out of her morning. And I have to run out real quick, so I'm going to put on a quick rewind before Jim Gano comes in, since I'm alone. So in the meantime, thank you for listening. Remember, you can call, stop in, or go online. Your library is always there for you.
With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
A diabetes drug could help lower the risk of recurring strokes and heart attacks. A trial done at Yale University finds that the drug sold as Actos decreased the number of cardiovascular incidents by nearly a quarter through a 5-year span. A different study done in 2006 found the drug reduced risk for heart attacks and strokes, but not for those who had experienced one previously. People who undergo heart surgery or suffer a cardiac event are typically prescribed a cardiac rehabilitation program as part of their recovery process. Dr. Leslie Cho with the Cleveland Clinic says cardiac rehab is one of the best things the heart patients can do to improve their odds of survival, as well as their quality of life.
We have designed an exercise program. You exercise in a hospital with an exercise physiologist, with nurses and doctors, and we gradually build up your exercise capacity.
Cardiac rehab is a 12-week program that's suited to each person's functional capacity. Patients will typically exercise 3 days per week for about an hour each day, in addition to meeting with a nutritionist. And most cardiac rehab is paid for by insurance after you've had a heart event or a surgery. Dr. Cho says multiple studies have shown that folks who do cardiac rehab actually live longer, have fewer heart attacks, and less need for repeat hospitalization. And she urges people who don't think it's worth their time to give cardiac rehab a try.
It's really crucial because it's not just about exercise. It's about learning how to eat, learning to stop smoking, controlling your stress factors. It's really a crucial part of having a healthy life after your heart event.
I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
It's time for Hunter Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it's 26 degrees. Clear skies, calm winds, 10% chance of precipitation. Today is Friday, TGIF. It is February 19th, and we're going to have a mix of clouds and sun early, followed by cloudy skies this afternoon, a high near 40, wind southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy and a low of 31 tonight, wind southeast at 5 to 10. And the next 2 days, buckle up, baby. This is sweet weather. Some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon. A high will be 58, wind southwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Sunday, cloudy and a high of 55, winds west at 5 to 10. Monday, mainly sunny and a high of 47. Tuesday, partly cloudy early, followed by mostly cloudy skies and a few showers later in the day. We might have some snow showers later that day and a low of 31 on Tuesday night. Wednesday, showers in the morning, cloudy in the afternoon, a high of 45. Temperatures in our area? Well, we got 24 up in Glen Gardner, 26 over in White House Station, 24 at the County Complex, 25 in Ringo's, 25 in Lambertville. That's Good Morning Hunter and Hunt Chamber Radio Weather.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning Hunter and Huntshipper.com. I got Patrick and Steve, or Steve and Patrick. We're going to argue about top billing in just a minute. Steve Bailey, Patrick Gregory are the hosts of Home Sweet Home, which has been on Huntshipper Radio for about 7-8 months, close to a year now. And they used to be at 1 o'clock. They moved to 11. And I had the pleasure of sitting with them during the Business and Home Expo. And funny guys and really a lot of expertise. So going to talk to them a little bit about their business, talk a little bit about their radio station, and talk a little bit about life in Hunterdon County. So good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Thanks for having us.
Hey, this is cool. Patrick has been busting down my door trying to get on the show, and I made some arrangements for you, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he hit me over the head, said you got to start cornering him. We got to get on the show.
Hey, you got to market yourself.
That's right. I love it. Now, Patrick and Steve, we have a little Hunter and Chamber Radio group where we're trying to make improvements, think of ideas, and you two took the bull by the horns and grabbed your show and started to make some evolvements with it. And we as the elder statesman of the radio, I've been on for 4.5 years now, appreciate how the passion that you guys bring to it. So it's nice to see and find out the thinking from the new set of hosts as to how this is all working for you. So we'll get to all that in just a minute. But
sure.
First, let's get started with a little introductions. I got Steve Bailey. And Steve, just tell us a little bit about you and your biz.
Thanks, Chris. The business I'm in is I'm a home inspector here, and not to be confused with our building inspectors, our co-friends. I'm on the commercial side. If you're out to buy purchase a property, or whether commercial or residential, my game plan is to come in and help my clients understand what they're buying. And really simply, we take the time to evaluate the property, walk through it. I'm a licensed inspector in the state. I'd like to say guided, but I would say we are legislated to by the Engineering Board of the state. So there are definite steps we go through to make sure that we have our clients up to snuff on what they're about to purchase and maybe some of the details they didn't know about.
Cool. We're going to get into this in a little bit because I got some questions about this. But everybody who's ever made a purchase, business or residential, it's been in their best interest to have an inspection.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even the mortgage companies want one.
Oh, yeah.
So it needs to happen, and it gives you some advice as to how to even negotiate your final purchase.
Absolutely.
So cool.
Absolutely.
Patrick, what's your gig, man?
Yeah, I've been in business since 2005. Mm-hmm. And, I really appreciate coming on the show with you.
Hey, thank you.
I'm at awe at the way that you're using the soundboard. I'm trying to, you know, because Steve and I, we kind of trade off once in a while.
No, Pat's the engineer.
he's touted me as being the
program manager, engineer, head of state, you name it.
Yeah, when we have the co-host. When we have the co-host, there's always that
a little bit of friction.
Friction that goes on. It's funny. Jen and Jim do that, and when I was doing some shows with after I was here, and Chris Phelan and Richard would come in, and we'd have three of us, and we would all sit there and try and figure out who's gonna be the one that has to run the board. So it's
amen.
This is all brand new to us, and we're just having a lot of fun with it because it takes us out of our regular role as you know what we do.
It's cathartic, isn't it?
It is.
I think so. Yeah. It is. And the neat thing is that we have to try to use our words, our vocabulary, mm-hmm.
Without the colorful metaphors, I might add.
There's nothing
we're not FCC
that
licensed. So,
I think that's where our...
And there's that really cool disclaimer that Chris always says that you're not part of the 100 Chamber of Commerce, so it does not necessarily reflect. So as soon as I hear that, I got a green light.
We are the clean contractors. You'll never hear us say the F word or...
No F bombs
or any of those other words that you might.
Boy, you're setting up a high standard now, there, partner. I can tell you. Now I'm really got to be on guard. But we haven't.
Bring your hand over here. Let me smack it with a hammer. I want to see if you hold back.
The neat thing about what we do is that, like I said, we have to use our vocabulary. We have to actually depict because we can't show people.
Yeah.
It's all just verbal, and I'm using my hands, and I'm trying to show in midair that I'm hammering and stuff. No one can see that, but we do it anyway.
That's right. We do it anyway.
we're like snickering at each other, going, "No one can see us. We're just trying."
We're the new Italian.
Just trying to paint a story.
We're conducting our radio show.
So, what is the name of your business, Patrick?
Taskman Home Improvements LLC.
Taskman.
Taskman. Yeah, okay. And I came up with that moniker because, in my opinion, I'm marketing myself as a handyman, a true professional handyman, and that to me depicts small repairs, maintenance. I'm not doing the big jobs like renovations. You know, you're not going to call me and ask me to do a finished basement or a kitchen job. I'm doing all those little repairs that need to be done on a very regular basis.
We are going to be talking after this show because I got a list, brother.
It's a task list, and that's where I come from that point of view, and been having a lot of fun. I like what I do, and just unfortunately, age is starting to get in the way.
Uh-oh.
Hate that. Yeah. Hate that.
My knees are telling me differently.
Yeah. Well, you do a lot of, I'm sure, up and down all the time, constantly walking around, constantly bending down, and that's, hey, man, I'm with you. I don't do a lot of home improvements, and when I do, it's usually I have to call you anyway, because by the time I'm done, I've made it worse. Yeah,
that's my perfect client.
I'm in big trouble then.
I'll get this. Basically, they'll say, my husband is so busy, and quite honestly, I love him to death, but he is terrible at doing the stuff around the house. I need someone like you, Pat. And I say, hallelujah. Let me in. I'll help you out. You know, I'd be happy to be able to assist you in any way.
Well, we're going to be chatting. And what's the name of your business, Steve?
The business name is Brass Tack Home Inspections, Chris.
All right. So Patrick gave us a reason why he did Taskman. Where did Brass Tack come from? Aluminum tack or gold tack?
Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, my sons and I were sitting around the table, and a couple of things came together in the conversation. It was, you know, Dad, you know, we don't have nice conversations anymore. We, you know, you're always driving me to a point. You're saying, you know, what are you trying to tell me? And, you know, you're always getting down to brass tacks. And, you know, the other one says, you know, Grandpa's nickname was Brass.
So, no way.
I said, well, there you go, guys. And, of course, I give them credit, although they won't take it for naming the company. So it came down to brass tacks. And actually, I work from that vantage point. It's, you know, just the facts, man. You know, and my business has got to be, you know, we can get into a lot of emotional things about real estate transactions and people's excitement about things. But, hey, I'm here to tell you what I see, what's going on. And
He's Columbo.
And I've used that metaphor. I've actually walked into places and people say, why are you going back in that room? Remember Columbo used to walk and leave, and then he'd say, you know,
come
just,
back. And one
just,
more question.
Just one more question. So I say, just one more minute. I walk back in and see if I...
You should wear a trench coat.
That would be good.
I think it's a great idea. But that's where that name came from, and it's been fun ever since.
Why was your grandfather nicknamed Brass?
Well, it's my dad. It was their grandfather, my son's grandfather. Yeah. We could probably take that to the colorful side of the metaphor.
I was about to say that.
You know, Dad,
careful how you say this.
Dad wasn't shy about taking on some pretty risky things. He, first of all, had a big family, and then secondly, he was everything from a volunteer fireman to a tenor singer and he used to do some some pretty out there stuff as far as taking risks. So I think he had a pair of
I get you. All right. I was looking. I was